Hello, my name is Philip Dawson, and it's a great pleasure to welcome you to our Start-Stop Reflection from St. Stephen Walbrook, when we stop for a few minutes and start to reflect on a passage from Scripture. This week, a great prayer from the letter to the Ephesians, that we might be strengthened by the fullness of God's love for us, a love that surpasses knowledge. From the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's all in the cloud. Cloud computing has allowed many of us to continue to work and study from home during the lockdown. One of the tutors at the theological college I attend part-time signed us up to an augmented reality environment so we could socialise after our lessons on Zoom. Yes, even the college bar is now in the cloud. I keep getting emails from Apple telling me to rent more space as my cloud is full, probably of video recordings of our church services during the lockdown, of notes and prayers I've started to write and not finished, and the thousands of photographs I took on my phone in Africa. While I was there, necessity finally forced me to start using electronic books. The libraries full of real books were all closed, and there's no Amazon in South Africa. It seems as though more and more of our knowledge is now being stored in the cloud. Even our knowledge about God, about ourselves, and our memories of others. And our cloud keeps growing. That might sound a bit scary to some, but according to an anonymous mystic writing in the late 14th century, that's exactly as it should be. In fact, he says, we must put all our thoughts and experiences into our cloud of forgetting, to have any hope of getting close to knowing the fullness of God's love for us, a God who himself appears as a cloud of unknowing, which gives the book its title. Over 75 short chapters, the author, a teacher or guide, walks with a younger student on a spiritual pilgrimage, offering advice that might help him come closer to God, the state which the author of the letter to the Ephesians prays we might all reach. Along the journey, the teacher reflects with humility on his own experience and shortcomings and stops to check that what he has taught is being properly understood. While the author of The Cloud remains anonymous by his own choosing, the style of Middle English has been linked to six other surviving works. He thought to have been a priest and therefore a man and to have lived somewhere in the East Midlands. References to other writings date The Cloud to the late 14th century, a time of great change with the Peasants' Revolt, the Black Death and the Hundred Years' War all raging, but also a time when we find many mystics, like Julian of Norwich, active in the Western Church. As its title suggests, The Cloud of Unknowing explores the idea that God is beyond human conception. Our understanding of him is necessarily limited by human thought and language. We're encouraged to become accustomed to this uncomfortableness, to embrace and accept our lack of understanding. The author assures us that while God is indescribable, he is not completely unknowable in this life. He can be reached by love. By this, he does not just mean by offering loving service or charity to those in need, although these features of the active life of a Christian are important and a vocation to which we're all called. Instead, he's referring to another expression of Christian life, a contemplative life. There's a great equality of opportunity throughout the book, in which the author is keen to emphasise that this life is not an easy way out for the work shy, or available only to people of independent financial means. By living a life devoted solely to fully loving God, He will provide for all our needs. God's love is all we need to sustain us. But loving is a joy, not hard work. In fact, it's no work for us at all. Loving is God's work, and reliant solely on His grace. The task of the contemplative, and here comes the struggle, is to become completely passive, to put all other knowledge into our cloud of forgetting, to become an empty house in which God can move in. It's only when we've placed all our knowledge in the cloud of forgetting that we have the capacity to consider the cloud of unknowing, that is God. This means putting out of our minds all memory of God's beautiful creative work, even clearing our head of our meditations on Christ and His passion. These thoughts are good, but ultimately a distraction to longing for God's love, to focusing entirely on Him. While the author leaves much of the detail of the teaching to God Himself, he does offer specific advice on prayer, which he says should be as short as possible, ideally words of one syllable. Repeating love or God is a meditative technique which later became known as centering prayer. A short, repeated prayer means less distraction, less reliance on human language and understanding. We're warned not to seek to dismantle the word in our thoughts to explore what love or God might mean, but to accept the word in all its fullness. Our eminently practical guide likens such prayers to the heartfelt cries of people in need shouting help or fire. Like them, we must continually cry out to God in prayer until we receive His help. These short prayers are likened to darts, which we throw hoping to penetrate the thick cloud of unknowing, and from which, by His grace and at a time of His choosing, God may choose to send down on us a shaft of His spiritual light, showing a glimpse of the fullness of His love. The difference between an active and a contemplative Christian life is not binary. All are commanded to love and serve our neighbours, but the true contemplative, like the one responding to a shout of help or fire, will do so whether the person crying out is family, friend or foe. Such distinctions are irrelevant when our focus and motivation is solely on longing for God's love. The cloud of unknowing helps us to see how we might make space in our own lives to receive the strength that is the fullness of God's love. Perhaps it's fitting that translations of this medieval spiritual classic are now available online, and I commend it to you. It's all in the cloud. This prayer for the preface is written at the start of the cloud of unknowing. God, unto whom all hearts are open, unto whom all wills do speak, from whom no secret thing is hidden, I beseech thee, so to cleanse the purpose of my heart with the unutterable gift of thy grace, that I may perfectly love thee and worthily praise thee. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's Start Stop Reflection. Do join us in church or online for our events and services throughout the week.